This hour, we have a very, very special guest with us. On the line with us right now is an actress, swim star, athlete, entrepreneur, living legend. Her name is Esther Williams. Hi, Esther. How are you?
Hi, Peter. I'm just fine.
Thanks for being on the program with us.
I love being on the program to Montreal. I remember it well.
You've been here before, have you?
Yes, I have. Years ago, when I first started my swimming pool business, the Esther Williams Swimming Pools, which have been going since 1958. Is that long enough?
That was the year I was born, Esther.
Oh, my gosh, Peter. It tells me exactly how young you are. Well, that year, we opened up our swimming pool business in Montreal. And I loved Montreal because everybody spoke French. I don't speak it, but I sure like to listen to it. And then I had a mad dash in the private car. I was in the car that the Queen has traveled in that has the Lucite top.
Oh, right, yes.
So everybody can see her. And everybody could see Esther because I was hurrying to make a plane. And I learned something about the French in Montreal. They don't like sirens. And I don't mean pretty ladies that swim. I mean the noisy ones.
Right.
And so instead of clearing the road so that we could make the plane, they would get in front of us and drive slowly. And I said, those French are individuals, every single one of them. And I said, well, I missed the plane, but I sure have had a lesson in stubbornness because nobody got out of our way at all.
Well, welcome to Montreal, Esther.
Thank you.
Now, people, of course, know you from the films you did, from your swimming days. I guess a whole generation, and the generation I'm talking about is mine and those that followed, would have discovered you when That's Entertainment came out back in the 70s. As a matter of fact, I worked as a theater usher, so I saw that movie over and over and over again. I loved it.
Oh.
And it was not my introduction to Esther Williams, because I'd seen some of your films, but hearing a little bit about the backstory was rather interesting. Now, you were a swimming phenom as a little kid, basically, and you swam on swim teams, what, in the L.A. area?
Yes, the Los Angeles Athletic Club would scout the swimming meets, the city playground meets, to find prospective swimmers, and I was certainly that. And I had just, I had inaugurated a city playground, Manchester City Playground, which is the southwest of Los Angeles. And my mother was quite a lady. She got things done. She was a take-charge lady. And she saw that the playground had places for people to play baseball, but no swimming pools. So she went down to the parks and recreation, and she said, I have a daughter that wants to swim. They said, how old is she? And she said, 8 years old. And they said, well, so what do we do? She said, you put a swimming pool in that Manchester playground, Manchester Avenue, where I went to school, and she'll donate her time to inaugurating it for you. And they said, what does that mean? She said, she'll swim across, and you give her a little medal, and she will think it's the Olympics. She'll be very happy. And so my mother, who really a very kind of wonderful, ahead-of-her-time lady, had done what lobbyists hadn't been able to do, and protests and marchers. She said, you have to treat the women right, and little girls are going to be women someday. So you make a swimming pool in that playground for her, and she'll pay you back by being a champion. And they said, golly, Beulah Williams, you certainly do make a case. And they built a swimming pool because of my mother. And I swam in that pool at 8 years. I was probably nine by the time I did that swim across the pool. And when I got out of the water and everybody applauded, I said, oh, this is fun. I like the applause. And I still do.
Well, that's great. Obviously, your mother was a very, very strong-willed woman.
Oh, I just love Beulah Williams because she had, I was her fifth child, and she'd been awfully busy raising my four brothers and sisters. But by the time she got to the fifth one, she turned to my older sister, Maureen, and said, "You raise this one. I'm going to go out and find out what's going on in the world." She was very liberated very early. And my sister Maureen taught me to swim. She took me to the beach on the streetcar. And we managed. We didn't have any money, but we sure had a lot of do it. Do it. Like Nike says, just do it.
We're talking with screen legend Esther Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJAD 800. A lot of people, when they're young, learn how to swim. Some people get into competition. But when did you know you were a cut above the rest, or did you?
Well, I didn't know, but I knew that it was the best I was going to feel all day to get in that pool. And what I did, that I had no idea the benefits that I would reap from that, I swam with the lifeguards in the swimming pool, and they were the best coaches I ever had because they were so supple and those lovely long muscles, strong, that they saved people with, were the most wonderful teachers in the world. And I'd swim laps with them and match them stroke for stroke. And by the time I got into competitive swimming, because the athletic club, the L.A. Athletic Club, came and found me, and I had just won the 50 meters in a swimming meet, city playground meet, and they said, "That little girl can swim," and they put me on a team.
So by 16, you were you represented the L.A. Athletic Club swim team, right?
Right. At 15, actually, because 15. At 16 I won the 100-meter freestyle. And because of those lifeguards, I learned to swim butterfly breaststroke long before women or men, for that matter, were even doing that. That's where you throw the arms forward, but instead of in the water, you're out of the water, so it's like a double crawl. It makes you awfully strong to swim that stroke. And strong is what I needed to win races.
Now, did you do any other work in the gym to strengthen yourself, or was it just all working in the pool?
We had the word of our coaches that they didn't even want us to walk at the beach in the sand because they were afraid it would tie up our muscles and our legs and the calves. And it was all nonsense because, of course, now they use pulleys and do all kinds of things in the gym, simulating swimming. But then they didn't want you to do anything but swim. Just get in the water and go at it. Because they thought all the other sports, running, jogging, even walking, and especially in the sand, where they thought that you would strain those muscles that needed to be so supple to swim. And I had the kind of mother when I had won a medley relay and I broke the record in butterfly, the breaststroke relay, and I swam my lap, 100 meters butterfly, and they looked in the books and they tried to disqualify me, and the thing that it says in the books for breaststroke is that the arms are thrown forward and pull down through the water. And it doesn't say anything about whether they're out of the water or under the water, the arms. So they couldn't disqualify me. And so they set the date at the swimming stadium the following Sunday for me to break that record, not in a relay, because they can't be put in the books if it's not swimming by yourself. You can't have the help of a racing dive from somebody else. So as relays, you know, there are three girls on that team. So I broke the rule from my coach and went to the beach and rode breakers, and there was a very sharp shell in the water, And I, in the sand, buried in the sand, a broken abalone shell that was very sharp. And I stepped on it and cut my foot wide open.
Mm.
And, oh boy, what a sight to see the inside of your foot. Because when I looked at it, and they called the lifeguards, and they took me home. And when I went into the house on crutches, my mother said, Esther, if you didn't want to swim in that meet next Sunday, you didn't have to cut your foot. That's the kind of mother I had. If I have a broken ankle right now because I had a bad fall from a scaffolding that I was working on in the house. And I could hear my mother saying, when I said, Mother, I'm going to be bedridden for a while, she'd say to me, don't you have a lot of reading to do? Never was there a negative approach to a negative situation. I'm very grateful to her for that because there's enough negativity in the world without having it come from your mother. So everything had a positive ring to it.
We are talking with Esther Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. Now, I've had the opportunity in the past to talked to a lot of people who had an athletic background, especially those who were training towards a specific goal. You made the U.S. Olympic swim team for the 1940 games in Helsinki. Unfortunately, those games were canceled because of World War II.
Well, they figured that with Germany bombing our boats and our planes and everything going over to Europe, the games were scheduled for Helsinki, Finland. And at that time, there was a preoccupation to occupy the Scandinavian countries, and they didn't want our swimmers to risk their lives. And I'm grateful to them for that because our boat might have gone down. It was a very precarious time. But there again, that positive mother, I said, Mom, there's not going to be an Olympics. And she said, well, you can't eat medals. What are you going to do? I said, well, I've had an offer to go become professional and be paid for swimming with Billy Rose's Aquacade. And she said, well, honey, there won't be another Olympics for 8 years. And she was exactly right. Her predicament came true. Her prediction came true. In London in 1948 was the next Olympics. They had to get that war over with. And so I swam in the Billy Rose's Aquacade, and that's where MGM found me.
Now, did you ever felt that you had missed out by being at the Olympics? Or, I mean, when you look back at all the things you've done in your career?
Well, I heard a story once about Harry Truman. And he had a haberdashery shop in Independence, Missouri. And he failed at that. He wasn't a good salesman. He didn't make that go. And somebody once said to Harry, why couldn't you make your haberdashery shop a success? He said, well, it went broke. But he said, as a consolation prize, they made me president of the United States. And I took that story and said, if there can't be an Olympics, I'll become a star and it'll be in the movies. And I was.
So you go to Billy Rose's Aquacade, and from there you're discovered by MGM, is it?
MGM came up to see me, and I couldn't believe they were going to make a swimming musical. Seemed to me that that was a one-picture thing that could happen, and then you'd never do it again. But they had seen the grosses of Sonja Henie and her ice skating pictures, and she was an athlete and a champion, and they said, let's just melt the ice and toss a swimmer in there and see what happens. And that was me. I was a swimmer. And I said, God, they're ready for mackerels now to be stars, so we'll see what we can do. And I just did my best. And I was there for 18 years, and I was in the top 10 box office for 7 years, one after another, big movie that made it at the box office. And I figured that was my Harry Truman consolation prize.
Now,
it was better than being president of the United States.
When MGM first came to you, did you have any acting experience, any school plays, anything like that?
Nothing. I never even got an autograph. I said to them, when they told me that they were going to sign me to a contract, I said, well, you people have a lot of courage because I can't sing and I can't act and I can't dance, but I can sure swim. And if you think you can make a movie out of that, I congratulate you. But if you don't want me, just throw me back in the pool. I'll be okay. That was my mother's theory about everything, and I guess I picked that up.
So your first film for MGM was?
Well, the first one, it's funny, they played it on Turner yesterday, and I had a wonderful day yesterday because unlike any other production of the opera, I love opera, they held the curtain on Turandot because I was coming in, and they had arranged for me to be sitting in the first row, and the orchestra was still tuning up just as I came in because I had gone to church, and we kind of got lost getting downtown to the music center. But it was such a thrill. I haven't ever sat in the front row of an opera, and they had saved two seats for me, and there I was. Loving it, feeling like I was, you know, right next to the orchestra and then I'm in the show. It was a wonderful day because I had never seen hundreds of people on a stage. Turandot has a huge chorus.
Right.
It's the Puccini opera, the last one he wrote. And I guess he decided to just, if he wasn't feeling well and he couldn't make another opera, he might as well make a big one. And I just love being there.
Well, the big spectacular is something that you're certainly known for. Did you have a role in how some of those stories, some of those movies that you were in were conceived?
Oddly enough, what happened, Peter, is everybody was dry. They weren't wet people, and they didn't understand the swimming. They were like I was. They couldn't believe they were making a musical with a swimmer. And what you have to do when you get into a situation like that is learn fast. You have to pay attention. You have to learn what you don't know, which is how to act, it took me a while to understand that camera keeps rolling no matter what happens, and you better do what they say. And I learned quickly. I was only 17 when I went there. And, it's been such a wonderful life. I've enjoyed it so much. We had a talk in the car. The musical director of this new show that I'm going to do, that we'll talk about further on, is the one that said, let's go to the opera because you have ideas about what the music for the show will be. I'm co-producing. And I'm the consultant for everything that is worn as a swimsuit. And I'm spokesperson. So what has happened is, at this point in time, I'm doing a useful thing in a beautiful project. And I'm so happy about it. And, of course, I had ideas about how the opera would work with this production because it's a very big one.
We are talking with Esther Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800, who is still going strong and still working, and I want to get into what some of those projects are you are working on, and also the fact that you are, the best way to describe it, the godmother of the modern swimsuit.
Yes, I was just honored for that. We had a big dinner in my honor in which they named me trendsetter of the swimsuit as we know it, and we'll talk about that.
We are talking with Esther Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. We have to take a break for the news coming up in just a matter of moments, and we'll continue on the other side with Esther Williams. News is next here on CJD.
Now more of CJAD's Holder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
We are talking with swimming and screen legend Esther Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. So Esther, you mentioned that you have this new project you're working on. Tell us about that.
Well, along with my mother's positive thinking, I quit making movies because I could see there was not another way to get me into a bathing suit, into the water. And the times changed. The musical as we knew it had changed. It had disappeared. When Julie Andrews can be the biggest box office in the history of movies in Sound of Music, and then nobody went to see her in a movie called Darlin' Lily, which was right after the big truth of Sound of Music, I could read the handwriting on the wall. And all along, I knew when I saw Eleanor Powell's feet bleeding because she danced too much, and when Crawford was so brokenhearted because nobody wanted her anymore in pictures, I said, there's an end to this thing. And I think when you have this kind of success, you better hedge your bet. And so I went into business, and I had my swimming pool business in 1958 that had a big success because timing is everything in life, and there was a gas shortage, and nobody could get to their favorite watering hole or lake or river or whatever. So I said, they've got to have a swimming pool in the backyard, and it needs to be affordable and in fast because everybody signs up for a swimming pool and they want it yesterday. So I had tremendous success with the thing called the Esther Williams Swimming Pool. Then I decided that my name should be on a bathing suit, and that went well, and that's still going on. I'm on a website where people can buy it on the Internet. Business seemed to be the perfect segue to show business because you both of those things deal with the audience, and you give them something that makes sense for you to endorse, like a swimming pool for Esther Williams and a bathing suit for Esther Williams, and it's appropriate. And what they say is, I've always wanted to look like her in the water, so I've got to get a suit that will make me look like her. And so I designed them very carefully after things I'd worn in the pictures, because I had wonderful designers in the MGM. And all of those things seem to have their moment of timing, and they're still going strong. And it was the most natural thing in the world that somebody in the business world, because I have produced specials. I looked at a tape of one of mine that I did in 1960. It was August 8th, my birthday, 1960. I wasn't born in 60, but my business was. And I looked at that with the man that's going to do the music for this big, beautiful show that we're planning. And he said, that's very good. And I said, you know, I had to fire the producer because he didn't understand swimming. People that don't swim don't understand the water, and there's a vision to the water because it's beautiful, but you have to place the camera exactly right. And I have always gotten my cameramen, my DPs, to put the camera right down close to the water so you're swimming with me. And all of that thinking that I had done about what works worked for this wonderful entrepreneur that approached me and said, Las Vegas is the only place that can afford you, and we should be on that Las Vegas Strip because Cirque du Soleil has done such a tremendous business, and nobody has had the courage to do anything with water since you quit the movies in 1959. which is a long time ago, before you were born, Peter.
Oh, that's just a year after I was born. But it sounds like the wisdom of Beulah Williams raised its head again in you, in the fact that so many actors and actresses don't know when to quit or if they should quit, and you seem to see the writing on the wall and make a change before someone else made the change for you.
Yes, and it's very embarrassing to fail and then try to do it, so you quit at the top. And I was top 10 box office at that time, but I knew it couldn't go on forever. When they could have to come up with crazy ideas to get me into the water, I said they're all waiting for a light bulb to go off in their heads, and they weren't swimmers. They didn't understand it. The underwater tank that I used to do my underwater work in had a big window in it, and one day I said to Mervyn LeRoy, who was directing me, he was a very famous director, directing me in Million Dollar Mermaid, which was a wonderful number movie because Busby Berkeley, they found him and delivered him to me.
Was that the one you were water skiing in?
No, the water ski was Dangerous When Wet.
Dangerous When Wet, yes, okay.
But Million Dollar Mermaid was the story of Annette Kellerman, who, talk about trendsetters, who was barred from Boston because she had taken a man's swimsuit and sewn black stockings in it, because you had to cover the limbs in those days because it was all ruffles and bows at that time, and ladies had shoes on and umbrellas, and they weren't anything resembling a swimsuit. And that was the script of Million Dollar Mermaid. And she was an Australian. I met her. She came on the set one day, and I said, "Do you mind me playing your life?" And she said, "Well, the only objection I have is you're not Australian." And I said, "Oh, Annette, dear, you're 90 years old, and we're doing the story of your life, and I'm the only swimmer in the movie, so I'm what you're stuck with." But I loved meeting her because she was a heroine to me.
Now, with all the swimming that you've done in the movies, and it's not easy, take after take after take, some of the things that crossed my mind, especially when I saw Dancer Entertainment, is how did you deal with things like, you know, there's chlorine in the pool? Was there any concerns with what it was doing to your skin, your hair? And considering you had to be in makeup for the movies, was this a problem?
Well, it's no problem because it was before doctors have us so scared about melanoma on our skin, because I kept a good tan all year round. Because body makeup came off in the water. They had water-soluble pancake and things like that, that I'd dive in the water and I'd see a cloud of body makeup on the surface of the water. I'd say, "Well, that's all off. Good thing I've got a tan under here." But what happens with swimming, I don't know. I probably discovered this and nobody else knew it, except scuba divers know it. The longer you're in the water, the more you're swimming. Like what you can do in staying underwater at 9 o'clock in the morning, you can do twice as well, three times as well at 4:30 in the afternoon, because you've been in the water all day. And somehow the body, in its miraculous ability to adjust, switches over. Used to check my mirror to see if I grew gills like a fish, because I could stay. We worked on a number with Tom and Jerry. Did you happen to see
that? Yes. Yes, that was great.
It was such fun because that was underwater acting, because they weren't there. They were sketched in later, you know, with Hannah and Barbara. And they showed me what the storyboard was, how the mouse and the cat helped me swim the English Channel, which was the script of that one. And I had index cards that told me the story, and I'd study each day that we worked. We worked for about 10 days on that, underwater, every day, all day. And It was amazing. I found that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I could stay on longer than I could at night, be underwater longer than I was at 9 o'clock in the morning. So talk about flexible. That's what you better be if you're going to be an athlete in the movies.
You know, there are so many things that are different today about Hollywood, not just the making of movies, but the business itself. Back when you were swimming and working in Hollywood, very strong-willed young woman, Beulah Williams' daughter, you had to deal with the press, I'm sure. You had to deal with the photographers, the stories that go around. I mean, at one point, you were married to the very dashing Fernando Lamas.
Yes, that's right.
What was it like in comparison to what we see today that goes on in Hollywood?
It seems
to be
different. I have a kind of theory that decades, when a decade passes, everything can change, and you better adjust to it. And that's what happened with the movies. I think when the Terminator with Schwarzenegger melted into his shoes when he was chasing people, he sort of made normal humans that don't melt into their shoes and they keep swimming or whatever, dancing like Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire, singing like Judy Garland, they keep going. But suddenly special effects became more important than human beings. And I have a grandson that just turned 19, 6'5", beautiful kid. He's my daughter's boy. And I talked to Thomas, and I said, do you feel that those movies are dehumanizing you? Because pretty soon they'll be able to have robots doing everything in the films, and they won't need people anymore. And in my time, if you were Clark Gable, you were sure a person, and you were needed in the movies. They needed stars like Lana Turner and Norma Shearer and Marlena Dietrich and those wonderful classic legends. And I think the kids are being cheated now because I noticed in the Oscars this year, I watch it from home because I've been a presenter, I've been there, and I've been in the audience, and I even did a number once a star, always a star, on stage with Debbie Reynolds and you know, all the ladies of MGM. And I don't go to it anymore. I like to watch it at home because I can see the changes. I can see what gets awards now. And what gets awards now are special effects, those wonderful people that do neurotic kind of Teutonic fires and all the things that are going to be in my show on Vegas with this beautiful water show. We're calling it, by the way. It's like we took part of the word. This is the dawning of the day of Aquarius, mm-hmm. of the age of Aquarius. We have a show called Aquaria, and it's going to be all about a myth of Greek mythology about Persephone, who Pluto, the devil, fell madly in love with and kidnapped. And when he brought her down to the underworld, it's going to be underwater. And that's going to be live, and it's going to be a huge audience of 3,000 people. And it's such a thrill to do that. I'm so amazed that at this point in my life, somebody has a wonderful wet idea. It's not dry. There's nothing dry about it.
We're talking with Esther Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800, being the executive producer and producer of a performance that's going to be taking place in Vegas. It must be pretty daunting for anybody who has a background in swimming to say, wait a minute, my boss is going to be Esther Williams?
Yes, I'm co-producing because there isn't anybody that's more of an authority on how long somebody can stay in the water and what the temperature has to be and what you do to be waterproof, to be like a duck. I was like a duck when I went to work in the morning. And these girls, and we have this wonderful, you should excuse the expression, pool of talent, of synchronized swimmers. And I was very influential in getting that wonderful sport into the Olympics.
We should thank you for that as well, because Canada has always done well in synchronized swimming.
I watched the Olympics when the Canadians won, and those beautiful girls, and the lifts they do. You know, they're not allowed to touch the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that strong treading water in those strong swimmer legs to lift people and lift them high in the air, and then they dive off their hands. I was so thrilled with them. I met them all. I went to Atlanta to see them, and I cheered them on because we had a wonderful team from the U.S., but the Canadians were the best.
Now, people who listen to the show on a regular basis will know what I'm about to say right now, but this might come as a surprise to you, Esther. I am one of those people terrified of water.
Oh, you poor baby.
I do not swim. I don't even get on boats.
You know, I solved that. I know about that phobia. And I wrote a book, Swim Baby Swim, in which I explained how to make a baby safe in the water. I'm talking 6 months and a year they're swimming. I felt so good about it because I had this grandson just born to my daughter, and they lived with me for a while after Fernando died in 1982 of pancreatic cancer that takes them very fast. And Susie was pregnant with little Thomas, and I was there when he was born. I was in the recovery room and the operating room and then recovery, and I said to Susie, we've got to teach this baby how to swim because I have a pool that's attached to my house, and it would be an eyesore to put a fence around it. I said, let's just fence the kid. And so I taught him to swim, and he was swimming at a year easily and certainly safe in the water because there's a way to teach a baby how to float until mommy can get off that damn phone and take care of her kid in the water, because that's when they drown, because you can't turn your back on a small child in the water.
You not only taught your grandson, but I understand you taught your own children to swim very early. And not only that, if I'm not mistaken, did you not actually work at MGM doing movies in the pool while you were pregnant?
Yes. All four times. I lost the first baby, and it wasn't MGM's fault. It was just not meant to be. And then I had Ben Denji, who is now a lawyer in San Diego. I taught him to swim. I had all my kids swimming when they were just a year old. And there's Kim, who is 6'8". I don't have little babies. And then Susie she's now 6 feet tall. And she had Thomas, but I taught her to swim. I've got wonderful pictures of them all just diving into my arms. They were all water babies.
That's amazing. Now, when this new show that you're working on, I want to make sure we get the information on all this. When, for those who do go to Vegas, when will it be premiering?
Well, he has just... And you got to raise a lot of money for Vegas because they're used to big and beautiful and the best. They've had Siegfried and Roy was supposed to be there for 3 weeks, and it's now in its 10th year. And that's the sort of affair this will be. It's a permanent venue, and they make the shows so beautiful and so desirable that everybody has to go see them. And it takes a long time for everybody to go to Las Vegas. But they're building a metronome, and that metronome is going to dump people out right at our box office. That was the arrangement that my entrepreneur made with Vegas. And it's very exciting because everything that I've learned about the water, this man has done two tremendous shows, one in Seoul, Korea and one in Tokyo. And they both were going to go into those venues for 2-3 weeks, and they've been there for 10 years.
So when is your show opening?
It opens next year.
Next year.
That's... And it will be, it's so exciting because I can't even go see an opera like Turandot and not think about the music because I'm co-producer, so everything I've learned at marvelous, big, beautiful, lavish MGM can be brought up to memory, and I know exactly how to do it.
Now, before we went to air, we called you on the telephone to have you on the program, and you were coming out of the pool.
Yes.
So we know you still swim, but you mentioned that you had a broken leg.
Well, a broken ankle.
Broken ankle.
And the reason I know, because I'm bionic. I had a hip replacement because all that bouncing on diving boards had taken away all the cartilage of my hip and my leg. And I got back into the water just as soon as the wound healed and amazed doctors how quickly I healed. I know that every doctor, instead of a gym doing physical therapy downstairs in his building, should have a pool. You should get people into the water immediately because when you swim, when you move in the water, it's a gradual churning of treading water, which is working your leg, but you're doing it effortlessly in the most wonderful atmosphere, which is cool, beautiful water, or warm water, beautiful water. I've kept my pool at around 85 while I've had this broken ankle because I want to heal it quickly. I've got a lot of work to do ahead of me. So I'm on my full weight on my ankle, and they're amazed at how quickly it's happened, but I'm not because I know it's the pool.
Well, you know, Esther, you are an absolutely amazing woman. If anybody has a chance to find your films, they should check them out if they are not aware of what Esther Williams is all about. I think you're an inspiration to a lot of people. Just the words of wisdom that your mother imparted you with and that you shared with us tonight, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And I know people can check your website. You do have a website.
Yes, I do.
It's www.esther-williams.com.
That's it.
www.esther-williams.com. Esther, it's been an absolute delight to have you on the program with us this evening.
Thank you, Peter. I've enjoyed talking with you. It's my favorite subject, and it doesn't seem to go away. I thought it would when I got older, but everybody shows up, and they're all people that have vision concerning water. So, of course, I'm happy to join with this new production.